now, the Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's a good Monday. Thanks for being with us. We have John Wilner, Wilner Hotline, momentarily on all things around the college scene with Deion Sanders coming to the Valley this week, Arizona big matchup at USC, and much more. I am on a flight as you're watching this. I'm going to Milwaukee to be with the Diamondbacks and to do things around Arizona. You'll start seeing stuff on the website tonight and tomorrow and Wednesday and maybe Thursday, because they play tomorrow, Tuesday. They play Wednesday. They play Thursday. And they play their games Tuesday, Wednesday at 4 o'clock Arizona time. Thursday, there's a chance there's a game three that they could move that to early in the day, Milwaukee time. It would be like middle of the day. But all that stuff is straight up. As always, we're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always, we appreciate the support of Desert Financial Credit Union and Jeff Meachie and Company. He's a big Diamondback fan, too. We're headed to Milwaukee. I looked at it and said, you know, I think we should be there. This is a good story. It's a good story given where the organization was. And when we sit here and pound on them for being so bad for so long, and they took the path of, we are not going to go out and keep bringing in the Madison Bumgarners and have them eat up a whole lot of salary space. We're not going to overpay on guys. We're not going to bring in veteran guys that don't move the needle. We are going to build from within, and it's going to be painful, and we're going to tear this thing all the way down to the ground. And they did. And so when you're there pounding on them, then you better bring out the arm around them after you brought the sledgehammer on them, and show up. So we'll be in Milwaukee, and very much looking forward to that. So Brandon Pfaadt's got a pitch game one tomorrow. I think what's cool about this story is, yeah, they make it in as a wild card, but you can't tell me that what Brandon Pfaadt is going through isn't going to make him that much better next season. And so you can say, okay, we have Gallen, we have Kelly, we have Pfaadt. We got to go find a couple other pitchers. We have some young arms that we like that were hurt. I like Tommy Henry before he got hurt earlier in the season. Jameson, he got hurt. But here they are, you know. And Milwaukee, it's interesting, Craig Counsell, I like him a lot because former Diamondback from the glory days, and spent a lot of time with Craig down in the dugout and around the team back when I was doing stuff with the Diamondbacks. And he's a free agent as a manager. And you would think that it's pretty simple. Let's just get Craig Counsell and get him signed. Corbin Burns is going to start game one. He's tremendous for the Brewers. So it's going to be tough. But just the simple fact that they are here is growing for them, and we will join you from Milwaukee on that tomorrow. Today is Suns Media Day, and I was supposed to be there and do the show from there, but Spurge and Eliav are there. You can check out their content over on the website and on our social at Sports360. The Suns, yeah, very interesting team that should be playing deep into May, into June. They're one of the four or five best teams. I think what happened over the weekend where Boston picked up Drew Holiday suddenly puts Boston in the conversation. I think Milwaukee picking up Damian Lillard puts them in that conversation. Obviously, where the Suns are, they've got to be the team. And, you know, Denver has taken some hits. They've lost some players. Golden State's going to be Golden State. The Lakers are going to be the Lakers. It's very, very interesting how deep. And if James Harden does get traded to the Clippers, does that make them a contender? Or is it the usual he goes someplace and there's problems? Nonetheless, today is the start of the Suns season with Media Day. And so we have something else to focus on. On the football side, I was pretty happy with how the Cardinals played from an effort standpoint. San Francisco is a lot better than them. It's like this Sunday, Cincinnati's coming here. Cincinnati's 1-3. The Cardinals are 1-3. I would much rather have the Arizona Cardinals 1-3 than the Cincinnati Bengals 1-3. And their star wide receiver, Jamar Chase, isn't happy, not getting the ball enough. Joe Burrow's trying to play through injury. The Bengals don't look very good. Much more talented than the Cardinals. The Cardinals are playing a lot of guys right now that if they were healthy, probably wouldn't be playing, especially on the defensive side of the football. But they didn't quit against the 49ers, and I am not one about moral victories. I hate going to that card. This wasn't a moral victory. It's just, it is what it is. The 49ers did what they're supposed to do. They smacked the Cardinals around. Christian McCaffrey getting four touchdowns. Joshua Dobbs played pretty well. He's not Kyler Murray. I'm not on that train where the Cardinals are going to be a better team long-term with Joshua Dobbs than they would be with Kyler Murray. I'm just not. You don't give up on a player taking that high. Dobbs has played well. He has. Done a nice job. Kept them in games. Done the best that he can do. Hadn't turned the ball over much at all. And so, you know, when I see Brock Purdy go 20 of 21 and just carve up the Cardinals, it was pretty effort. The way that they go about it, I shouldn't say effort, it's methodical. The 49ers are just methodical. They are. And I like the direction that the Cardinals are heading. I don't think that they're going to be the team with the worst record. I think that's going to be the Chicago Bears. It was pretty interesting. Peter King dropped the nugget this morning of could Lincoln Riley and Caleb Williams go together to the Chicago Bears as a package deal if the Bears have the number one pick in the draft. It's pretty interesting. Makes a lot of sense. New AD has come to USC, who was up at Washington. Maybe get out while the getting is good. I watched some of the Colorado-USC game back on tape Saturday. And, yeah, Caleb Williams. I'd take Caleb Williams, but I would. You know, Shadeer Sanders is right there if I've got the first pick. But do the Cardinals need to move off of the idea of they're going to tank? That sounds fun on these types of shows to do. What if they did tank? What do they do? Have you seen how bad the Bears are? They're just dreadful. It's not like Denver is very good either, but man, they're bad. On the college end, so Arizona State is just kind of meandering along with Kenny Dillingham here in season one. We cannot make any big judgments about Kenny was a great hire or Kenny was a terrible hire. Can't do that. Kenny's not playing with a full deck of cards. Playing with a roster that's really beat up on a team that just found out that they're not going to be bowl eligible. He's probably going to have some players. He had Will Schaefer last week go into the portal. Probably have some other players now if they haven't won games and they don't have anything to play for in the postseason. There will be those kids that will hear all the noise. You need to get out. And a few years from now, it'll be fun to do the story on the player that stuck with it. I like that Kenny's a riverboat gambler. He kind of has this, I don't care. What do I have to lose? I'm going to go it for it on fourth down every single time, even when it makes no sense. And he did one of those. And I didn't agree with the call, but it's like, okay, if he's going to go down this season, if, you know, you lose a game to Cal in year number one where things are, he's in a honeymoon period. They have Colorado here this week. It's Dion. There will be more Buffalo fans in the stands than Arizona State fans. There will be. There'll be curiosity fans that will come to the game kind of like Taylor Swift watching. I'm in the same building, and who will Dion have on his sideline in Tempe? Who is going to show up to support Dion? It's not even about winning and losing games. Shadeer Sanders is fun. I don't think ASU's defense has got near the speed to stay with Colorado. I could be wrong. But this Saturday at the stadium, that's must see. And then there's U of A. You know, U of A gave Washington a fight. USC's defense isn't good. I'll talk to John Wilner about this momentarily. But I think that that's an intriguing game as well. So Wilner's on the other side. I am headed to Milwaukee to be with the Diamondbacks. Make sure you check out our content. John Wilner and I, that is next. John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes, as always. Wilner Hotline, all things around the college football fruited plain. You can follow John on social media, Wilner Hotline. Of course, his content shows up on the website at sports360az.com. Fans really enjoy the deep dives and the meat sandwiches that John Wilner provides. All right, after last weekend with Colorado and USC and Washington down here against the U of A, I think it's time to get into a bit of a deep dive, John, and look at it from this perspective. We're now into October, and will you, let me put it to you this way. We're in October, and are you of the opinion that the Heisman Trophy is going to go through the Pac-12 again, one way or another, or even another, John?
Certainly the Pac-12 has got to be the front runner. I think if you look at the latest betting odds, Pac-12 has either three of the top four betting favorites or four of the top five. It's gone as well as the conference could have hoped. To me, the biggest chance for an upset would be Texas quarterback Quinn Ewers is is way up there. And, you know, Texas, like USC, has that brand name, the national visibility. Ewers is a big name across the country in college football. So if he plays well, Texas goes undefeated. He's going to be tough to beat, but Caleb Williams playing spectacularly. Michael Penix Jr., Bo Nix, you know, all three of those quarterbacks in the Pac-12 are right at the in the lead pack. So the conference has a great chance. Would be Williams won it last year. Prior to that, Marcus Mariota from Oregon in 2014. Prior to that, it was Reggie Bush.
What about Shedeur Sanders in this conversation, John? Is he out?
Yeah, I think he is. He is in trouble. You know, he's played very well overall, but at certain point, you have to take into account a team's record when you're evaluating the Heisman, especially if it's quarterback position. And they've got two losses. There's more losses coming. If you've seen them play, right, they have a lot of flaws on that team. I don't know. The way their offensive line is playing, I'm not sure Sanders is going to remain upright for the next, you know, seven games in Boulder. So I think he's lost some of the Heisman fuel because of the team's losses, and those things go hand in hand.
Let's get into Colorado then, because he is coming here this Saturday. This is a game where I think from Arizona State's point of view, this is, we're going to show you that there is nothing real about Colorado, because if we can beat them at home, people nationally are going to say, well, Colorado can even beat a team that wasn't even bowl eligible. So this is just a mirage, right? On the other side of it is, I'm hearing that the sidelines are going to be beyond jammed with celebrities coming from Colorado down here once again, and that the train is only picking up more momentum. So just looking at the X's and O's, I know you saw ASU against Cal. You've seen Colorado. What do you make out of Saturday's matchup?
Well, I think it's real interesting because ASU has played very well, you know, in terms of effort. I think you can't ask for much more if you're Kenny Dillingham, right? These guys are playing hard despite knowing what the end of the season looks like already. I think ASU is going to have a hard time defensively. Colorado has got guys who can make plays. Sanders can deliver the ball all over the field. The receivers are very good. I don't know if Travis Hunter is going to play or not. That's a big piece. He's their best offensive and best defensive player. So ASU's defense is going to have to play very well. I mean, this is a next level. It's not USC as an offense, but it's also much better than what ASU just faced in Cal. And then on the other side of the ball, ASU is going to have the opportunity to move the sticks, score touchdowns, because Colorado's defense is not even mediocre. But ASU can't turn the ball over, right? Dillingham's got to be smart, I think, with his decisions on fourth down. I thought he made kind of a costly decision on fourth and two in the Cal game, you know, and they've got to be smart with the ball. Whoever's playing quarterback, you know, are they going to have any of their injured offensive linemen back? If they execute on offense, they got a real chance to win the game. If they don't execute on offense, it could get out of hand because Colorado can really score.
What do you make out of Dillingham so far, John? Are you able to come up with a thought or two on, was this the right hire? Because here there's the, why didn't they go after Deion? There's not a chance that the president of this university would have brought Deion here, just so we're really clear and cut out the noise on that. But has this been a good hire, the youngest Division I coach sitting out there coming into this situation?
Well, I mean, quick digression, but isn't that a classic contrast? Michael Crow wouldn't even think about Deion, but he was willing to hire Herm Edwards.
Yeah.
I mean, that tells you all you need to know about the the decision-making at the top of the university when it comes to athletics. I think it's too early on Dillingham. And to be honest, given the situation with the postseason ban, and we don't still know what's coming from the NCAA, really, we probably should withhold judgment on the Dillingham era until like November of 2025. I mean, it's you got to give him a lot of time to get this ship straightened. I certainly think if you're an ASU fan, you have to be happy with the effort and the intensity and the urgency that they are playing hard for him, despite everything that's happened with the bowl ban, with the injuries, with the schedule, you know, having USC right out of the gate. They are playing hard. You got to be impressed with that. Some of the decision making, I think, has been, I don't want to say reckless, but he is certainly pushing the envelope with fourth downs and some other things. And I generally think that's good, but you got to be smart with it and recognize the broader flow of the game and what it's going to take to put your team in position to win. Overall, absolutely give him an incomplete. I think that's the only fair grade at this point.
Flip it around. We're talking with John Wilner for a couple of minutes. Wilner Hotline. U of A, Jed Fish, USC. Litmus test this last week against Washington. I'd say they passed the litmus test. They didn't even have their starting quarterback. Now do they have a quarterback controversy going into a game against the Trojans? One. Two, you know, Jed's at a school that they care about basketball more than football. The conference cares more about basketball than football. I kind of feel like, John, he's skating under the radar in Tucson because he's done a really remarkable job turning around the Titanic. And this is a game where I would think there'd be a little bit more national attention to look at the job Jed Fish is doing at that program.
Perhaps it's just, like you said, Arizona football just doesn't register with most people. It doesn't register with a lot of people in Tucson, right? This game, I mean, he's got the ESPN platform. They yep. went into LA and beat UCLA last year. They always play well in LA because they got so many guys with Southern California ties, right? And they're catching SC at a good time. SC is coming off that, you know, pomp and circumstance game in Boulder. And next week, the Trojans are going to Notre Dame. So this is in some ways a little bit of a trap game for SC. Mm-hmm. If Arizona can go in there, and I don't know who's going to play quarterback. I was impressed with Noah Fifita. It's also easy to be impressed with the backup on a short-term basis when you don't have much sample size. I don't know who's going to play. Fifita's from L.A. I'm sure he's going to be stoked if he gets the chance in front of friends and family. But they've got it. You know, we've all seen USC's defense. They can't stop anybody. And so if Arizona gets good quarterback play, doesn't turn it over, it's kind of like the situation ASU's facing against Colorado. It's a vulnerable defense. Arizona can move the ball. The problem is going to be stopping USC because they obviously have as good offense as pretty much anybody in the country. So Arizona just played at Washington, another great offense. If they can duplicate that effort, I think Arizona's got a chance to make it a game in the fourth quarter.
All right. A couple other games will get you out of here, or a couple other questions. Washington State, UCLA. You know, on the surface, this is like, that's Washington State, UCLA. Me, it's got much more meaning than that because both those schools have not really gotten much attention so far this season.
Right. I mean, the biggest attention Washington State's gotten is from Jake Dickert's comments about Lee Corso.
Right.
You know, Washington State, they're ranked, what, 13th, 14th? They're undefeated. They're playing as well as anybody in the conference, I think. And both teams are coming off a bye. We don't know anything about UCLA, really. Because of their schedule, right? They played three cream puffs. San Diego State's not any good this year. And then they lost at Utah. We know their freshman quarterback is very good, but UCLA is the biggest mystery in the conference. We're into October, and we have no idea what they're like. So I think it's going to be a very telling game. And certainly if you're Washington State, this is a game you got to – if you are serious about competing for the Pac-12 title and – you know, making a statement about your program against the backdrop of realignment here, you got to win this game. It's a tough game. It's a road, you know, on the road, you got to win this game. I think they got a great chance. Cam Ward is playing fantastic at quarterback for them.
And one other thing about Washington State, are we going to know by the end of this month what their future is along with Oregon State? Is this going to get figured out, the Pac-2, the Mountain West, some new form of conference by the end of this month? I hear there's a meeting coming up in the middle of the month. What's the latest on that?
Well, the big hearing in their for their preliminary injunction in the Whitman County Superior Court is scheduled for November 14th, I believe it is. So if the court process, the legal process goes all the way to the hearing, we won't know. If they settle because neither side wants to go through discovery, especially the conference office and the 10 schools that are kind of opposing Washington State and Oregon State, if they don't want to go through discovery and there's a settlement, we might have some clarity on Washington State and Oregon State before October finishes. But if they go to the hearing, then this thing is going to drag probably into, you know, late November or December.
What's your gut tell you, John, on this one?
Well, my gut tells me Oregon State, Washington State are going to push hard to go to the hearing and beyond. They are not going to back down at all in this. But I always tend to lean toward university presidents taking the conservative route and there being some kind of settlement, which gives Oregon State and Washington State a fair amount of control over the finances of the conference, because that's really what's at stake here. Is every decision that is made now affects how much money will be available to those schools starting next summer if they try to rebuild the league. I would tend to lean toward there being some kind of settlement, but we'll see. It's going to be as fascinating as what's going on the field.
Yeah, and the settlement side doesn't mean that this is where they're going. There's no way, I've had fans send me notes, isn't there any way that the Big Ten or the Big 12 or the ACC would circle back and bring these two in? I don't think that that's beneficial to Oregon State and Washington State. I actually think it's pretty smart that they're sticking their flag in the ground and saying, we're going to be here and we're going to be the Pac-2 because we want to keep this Pac-12 alive. It seems to me that the best way to go is have the Mountain West absorbed within the Pac-12. Would the Mountain West want to let that brand go? That's how it feels to me, the roadmap. Am I off on that?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the ACC's not happening. The Big Ten's not happening. You could probably make the case that there's a 1% chance that the Big 12 would happen. Those schools, they fit a little bit better in the Big 12 than they do in the other two leagues. But at the same time, there's no money. Right. ESPN's not going to shell out $65 million, and Fox are not going to shell out $65 million a year more just to get Washington State and Oregon State into the Big 12, which means if they did it, they would have to take reduced shares, you know, one-third, one-quarter of what everybody else is getting. And if that's their option, they probably would be better off in a reconstructed Pac-12 with the Mountain West schools rather than being in an 18-team Big 12 where they are financially at a huge disadvantage.
I'll let you go off that. Appreciate your time and insight. Have a great week.
Thank you, Brett.
There's John Wilner, Wilner Hotline. Make sure you give John a follow. Make sure you check out his content. You can follow him over on social at Wilner Hotline, on Twitter, on X, we should call it. And, of course, on the website at sports360az.com. We're back with more after this timeout.